wish everybody a good Chodesh. There's a particular shaila that comes up very often in the field of medicines, which this is one of the, perhaps if somebody asked what was the most common question that I have been asked in recent times, it's the following question, and I want to use this shaila to go into a few of the inyonim involved with this particular shaila. And the question is that if the problem has arisen over recent years because the practice and the legal requirements for labelling medicines is such that now even inactive ingredients are labelled on the packets, and I very often get phone calls from people asking me on almost every tablet, when you look at the ingredients, tablets that you swallow, particularly it says lactose as one of the ingredients. And people, when they see the word lactose, they think of milk, which is correct, and therefore they get concerned, and is there a problem because of both, there's a question of loss of a hollow, a question of handing these tablets after a meaty meal or together with a meaty meal at the time of the meaty meal. And the other question that arises obviously is the question of cholavakum. Is there any problem of cholavakum in such a shaila? So I want to use this shaila to go a little bit into the question of lactose itself, what lactose is, and from a halakhic point of view, whether there is a problem of lactose in medicines. And secondly, also following on from that, as the title of the talk is The Milky Way, talking about whey, spelled W-H-E-Y, from which we'll see lactose is derived, whether generally whey is widely used nowadays in products that are dietary supplements that people often have to take, particularly very ill people who can't eat ordinary food have to take things like Ensure, as you've come across, and various products like that, which are all, most of them, the protein in them comes from whey, which is a milk derivative. So I wanted to use this shaila as a little bit of an understanding on what of the shailas of cholavakum and the bitrat bosom cholav as well. So the first question is, what exactly is whey and what exactly is lactose? So very simply, to make it as simple as possible, very simply, what happens is that the milk, pasteurized milk, is taken, a starter culture is put in, it's cooked at particular temperatures, basically it's the cheese making process, rennet is put in, nowadays mostly rennet that is used, even though in previous years rennet has been an animal rennet, and there are still firms that use animal rennet, but certainly the medical products that we're talking about usually use a synthetic type of rennet or an acid rennet, and then that then splits the milk, as you know, into curds and whey. You've got the curds as the hard part, the cheese, as the cheese forms, and the whey is the milky product that's left, the watery product rather, that is left behind. And that whey is actually very rich in protein, it's a very good product, very useful product. And lactose is made by filtering the whey. Is dissolved in whey are these tiny particles of lactose, which when you filter it or evaporate it or filter it, lactose is obtained, and lactose is widely used. It's used in the food industry, it's used in the pharmaceutical industry, and that's the mitzvah, that's the way it works, and we now have to understand what is halakhic aspects. So there are actually two points to be considered. One point is the question of possible cholov, and the other point is the question of cholovakum, is there a question of cholovakum and gvinatakum, as we'll see shortly. So I just want to start with the possible cholov tikkashayla, the question, is there a problem with possible cholov in these milk products, and then I'll move on to the cholovakum and the gvinatakum. Now there's a very, very interesting rosh in Perek Cholavosa, Siman Nun Aleph, which talks about the Gemara is talking about Nisyuvei Zechalva, which is translated as whey. That's what the Gemara is talking about. And the question is talking about, the Gemara is talking about the Shaila, is there a din of possible cholav in Nisyuvei Zechalva? And the Gemara says, it calls that Nisyuvei Zechalva Mei Cholav. That means, and Mei Cholav, says the Gemara, has not got a din of cholav as far as possible cholav is concerned. Says the Rosh, but the Isura Miho Ika. But there is still an Issa in this mei cholov, this watery part of the milk, which we described, the whey. So our kutach, because the Gemara talks in other places about kutach, kutach was a sort of a milk bread type of condiment that was used. Minisuva de Chalva, and it's not made from actual milk, it's made from this Minisuva de Chalva. The Osalechel, a clear Gemara, Osalechel, Bosa Bechutach. It's definitely forbidden to eat meat with Kutach, with this Kutach. And Kutach is made from whey. The Amiyoyne, says the Rosh, actually, the Minisuva de Chalva Osa Midaraisa, that this watery part of milk, the whey, is actually an Issa Midaraisa if it would come from a it's an itzamidraya of bosa b'cholov. As far as bosa b'cholov is concerned, if you would cook milk meat in may in nisyure dechalva, it would be also midraya. So umay cholov the potter, the may cholov which the Gemara says is potter. If you cook meat in may cholov, says the Gemara, it's potter. That haynu shehitzim menu kolah oichol, that they remove from the may from the way they removed all the food parts. So the achas osa gvina, then after they've made cheese, the vashnim acholav, they take the milky part and they cook it once again. The oichel sof lamala, and then there's a solid part that still floats, another solid part, which is probably actually our lactose that we're talking about, something like that. Which further, then you're left just with water. You've evaporated everything out of the whey. Then that would be, according to the Rosh, that would be mecholov. Whereas according to other Rishonim and other ones, that's something which is called mecholov, and it's even a further derivative. And the Rosh says, no, what we would normally call mecholov, that is actually proper milk, and you need to, and in order to not be higher for bishul bosa mecholov, you would actually have to cook it once again and get it to the stage of mei cholov. And in fact, it's the mechaber brings down both shittas. The mechaber says in Simon Pei Zion, brings down the halacha that first says that it's also the bashul bosa mecholov, and then the mechaber brings a yesh misha omer, brings the shittas harosh, which says that actually some say that mecholov, the way, is actually got in of cholov by itself, and mecholov, and the only thing that we've got is the further cooking where you've removed all the solid matter from it. The actual way is not b'chal mecholov, but also in atera, that's also in atera. The mecholov haynu achash oisem agvinas. After made cheese and fast him had his yuva the oichel sof manus the loshon of the rush. That's the mechaber. However, given time to quote everything verbatim, but in Pei Aleph, where the Shulchan Aruch there is discussing the halachas of cholov as being cholov that comes from a behema, it's a chiddush that cholov is muta, and the question it's only a chiddush for the ver zavat cholov with vosh, but otherwise it could be a shayla of eidim in achai, dvorim hayotim in achai, but the gveyos hakotu that cholov is muta. So then the question is, what about mei cholov? Since it's a derivative of milk, maybe it doesn't fall under the gveyos hakotu, and therefore there would be an itav eidim in achai on mei cholov. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about there. It's clear from the shah in Siman Pei Aleph there, however, it seems to be quite clear that the shah learnt that our nisyuvei dechalva is actually already got a din of meicholov, but he didn't. The passage like the first shita of the mechaber, the nisyuvei dechalva, the way it is a din of meicholov. The truth is that as from our point of view, and from the people asked whether medicines containing lactose or containing whey, whether they would have a din of bosa b'cholov. From a practical point of view, even according to the mechaber that says that it's that mei cholov, there's no issa min atayra of bishul bosa b'cholov, but there's still issa drabonan, and therefore it's only a question of patur. So even according to the shitta that nisyuvei dechalva, the actual way would be mei cholov, practically speaking, it doesn't make a lot of difference. The dinim of bosa b'cholov would still apply to it, at least midrabonan. So it doesn't make a lot of difference, except perhaps in our medical shal it's something to be borne in mind, because sometimes one can be making certain isurei d'rabbanan for cholim, so it might be something to be borne in mind. That is the cholov bosa b'cholov tikkus. From a practical point of view, one certainly not a great room for leniency as far as mei cholov is concerned from the bosa b'cholov tikkus shal. However, the more practical shaila is the question of cholav akum. We're concerned about cholav akum, not only are we concerned about cholavakum, but we are also concerned about gvinasakum. And it's well known there are actually three consecutive isim in Shulchan Aruch on the halachot of cholavakum. First of all, the first kuftet of Tevav talks about cholav shechol v'ayved chavim, milk must be milked by a goy, the ein Yisrael royehu, offer shev'ir v'cholav tomei, a famous machaba. The Mechaba actually is slightly more lenient even than the Ramor. The Ramor actually passes the Hachilat Torah Yis Yisrael, the Hachilat Chaliva. You've got to see the whole milking process. And long Ramor there discussing about the din of Cholavakum, which is well known. That's Kuftet Rov Siv Aleph. Following on that is Kuftet Rov Siv Beis, which talks about Gavina Sa'ovichov, and this is where there's slightly more confusion. Says the cheese that is made by a guy, Osrum, Chazalvais, this is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, they asked the cheese made by a guy, Nation Mamidim Oisei, the Kevas Chitotim, it used to be, at that time certainly, it was made, and even nowadays it's made with the rennet, which has been from a non kosher animal, Nvela from Nvela. But says the Machaber clearly, but I feel him. You do the Asovin Asura. Even cheese, even you've got a. It's important to be aware of this. People think might see many cheeses nowadays are classified as vegetarian cheeses. Most cheeses are in fact vegetarian. It doesn't help us as far as the Chashayl of Gvinas Akum is concerned, because the Gezer was in blanket Gezer made by Chazal, that cheese made which is processed through a non-Jew that is forbidden. Hagol v'chein haminag. This is the minag v'ein lifro together. Very, very important. Says the Ramah, one mustn't be paired together with this. And then there's questions about these. You're watching it, but generally speaking, definitely cheese, even if there are no actual other animal ingredients in it, is forbidden. And the third halacha, which is relevant to our shaila, is the Ksif Gimel, which is the din of butter, which is another separate din. Hachemo shaloidei chovim, ein moichin anshei mokum shnergim boheta. People are not, do not protest those people in heta with butter. And if the rogue people, says the Mechaba, in their place have a minig, then it's offered to change. But if it's a mokum where people are making about butter that has been made from non supervised milk, from milk that has under shmir, then the Mechaba is making. I must hasten to add that there should be no misunderstanding, and one has to be very careful before translating this into practical practically nowadays, because nowadays very often butters are not as simple as they used to be, and there's different ways of making butter. Butter, pure dairy butter that has been made, which has been made from unsupervised milk, according to the Mechaba, is mutter, for the simple reason that the Gezeirat Chazal was made on milk. The Gezeirah was never made on butter, and it's only milk that from the Metzias is a scientific fact that milk that comes from a behemoth to mea will not form butter. Cheese was different because it had other reasons for making the Gezeirah on cheese, and therefore cheese, even if you there's differences as we'll see further in a few minutes. But butter was a clear machaber that it's mutter, and that's why people weren't knowing, and certain of the butters, even supervised butters nowadays, are not mishaas chaliva because mitzad the kedin of a machaber, they don't have to be, as long as one's sure that nothing else has been done to it, the actual milk itself is not necessarily a problem. Right, these are the halachas, and the one other Ramor that's important to quote before we actually translate this into our practical shaila. The Ramor says on the if of cholav shalei chovim, the Ramor says that milk cholavakum, not only is it often itself something people should not, but it's something which people are not often aware of, but it also forbids kalim that have been that if you cook cholavakum, if cholavakum has been cooked in a keli, which then that keli is also the belief, in the same way as if you cook something which is not kosher in a pot, it needs kashering. So if you cook cholavakum in a pot, it will also need kashering midin cholavakum. All the various other shayas apply. And the same thing also cheese which is being cooked, even if it's perfectly kosher except for the milk aspect of it, it'll still, the kalim would need kashering it up as the kalim. So where does whey and lactose fit into the picture now? So the first thing we have to realize is that we just said that whey is a byproduct of the cheese making process. But it's not cheese. The cheese is the curd, is the hard part. The whey is just the water. It's not cheese itself. So therefore, whey in its own right would not be, even though it may well be still a problem of cholov akum, if we are going to be say that, certainly if we're going to say that mei cholov is has got a din of cholov, and the misyuve de chalva is cholov according to the shit of the machaber, certainly it's going to be, and it may well have a din of cholov akum, but the whey itself shouldn't have a din of gavina. It may be more lenient than cheese. It probably is more lenient than cheese. The only thing about whey is that is a problem is the process by which they make the whey involves, and this is a complicated thing because it depends on cheese making. I'm not an expert, but there are volumes and volumes of it on cheese making, and if you speak to a cheesemaker, he'll probably be able to lecture to you for many hours on the different types of cheeses, and there are various different processes which use different temperatures. That means that the actual separation is done at different temperatures, and the problem would arise if you get a process which involves cooking at a temperature of above the Adzeledesboy, then the absorptions from the gewina, from the curd, could go into the whey, and then they could be bleas, and as we just said, bleas in the same way as cheese utters the kalim it's cooked in, so the cheese could utter the whey, and that is one of the problems with whey, that there can be those that there could be bleas of greenness utter in it. It seems to me, from what I've seen, that apirov, the most processes don't go above the absolute way. So it could be certainly that we've got a sophic here, and therefore it's a mockum to be lenient, that whey will basically assume that it's not cheese, it's milk, but one may well not have to worry about the problem of gavina akum with the whey processes. Is there anything else we can do, any other room for leniency, anything else? So once we say that if there's a shach in Kuftes Vov in Sifkot and Cafe, there's a shit of the shach, and other pockets seem to have the same shitter, and a very interesting thing, and that is that since we know one thing is a fact, that even cheese can only actually be made from kosher milk, in the same way butter can only come from kosher milk, cheese can also only come from so if milk is milk for the purpose, express purpose of making cheese, says the shach, then the normal din of cholov akum won't apply to it, because the person who milked the cow and is selling the milk knows he's going to be caught out if he puts cholov behemoth to mayor into it, because it won't work, the cheese process won't work. Now, since we know that this whey is a byproduct of the cheese making process, and if it hasn't got bleas of cheese in it, so in a way we've got one aspect which is more lenient, the whey becomes actually more lenient than normal cholov akum, because it could only have come from kosher milk, and so long as it hasn't got any bleas of cheese, it's not cheese. So therefore, that would be something else, certainly in medical products, something else to be soimikon lekula. Another interesting point which I saw in the Darkei Tshuva in Siman Kuftes Vov Sifkot Aleph, he quotes the Knesset Hagdoyle Vagoras Hatur Oispeis Shechich Milot Nashilte Hagiboyim. In Avodah Zarah, the Dafka Cholov offer that, generally speaking, anyway, only the din of Cholov Akum only applies to Cholov itself, and Mei Cholov ain't by Mishum Cholov Shechol Akum, and Mei Cholov will not have a din of Cholov Shechol Akum at all. The din of requirement for supervision of milk doesn't apply to Mei Cholov. So if we can then use the Kula Zikashita in Mei Cholov, the first shit of the machaba that mecholov is in the machaba, another aspect of to be mecho in mecholov. Again, this wouldn't be something that one would be normally lenient in, but where we're talking about medical products, it's certainly another Smith Lark. That's one another point. Now, there's another further point to be taken into this shayla when one discusses this further, and that is that even if the whey has got a din of cholov akum, even not that vegan, the Dachi Chuba that we just quoted, even if it has got a general Kolarachum, there is actually quite well known heter that people often quote. It was actually put forward by the Hatzvi, Reb Tzvi Tetzer Frank. He put forward that generally, nothing to do with lactose particularly, but generally powdered milk powder, the Hatzvi, for various reasons, was lenient about. And it's interesting, one of the reasons is that he considers milk powder changed in the same way as butter is changed. In the same way as butter, the gezeira of cholov was made on milk and not on butter. So he also says the gezeira of cholovakum was not made on the powder that comes from milk. He also includes into his head as well the fact that there is a svek sveker, there is an extra sophic here, interesting svek sveker, which I don't want to go into the details, but he says it's a sophic, maybe there's no cholav akum there at all, and even if there is cholav akum, maybe the cholav akum is bottle. It's a difficult svek sveker, but he does say there's a svek sveker, and the bottom line is that the Hatzvi was mekel about milk powder. This kula was not accepted in normal circumstances by most people. There were certain companies in Eretz Yisrael that did rely on the heter milk powder. The Chazon Ish was certainly not happy about it at all. Though it's interesting to note, the Chazon Ish himself did write that with other certain snifim lahokil, for example, where there is, which I haven't gone into, the question of pikuach hamin shoda, the fact that we do have a certain aspect in cholavakum. Moshe Feinstein spoke about it and wrote about it, and it was maybe more applicable in America than it is here. I don't want to go into the details of that. It's a question to know. But where the governments have strict controls on the milk processing, and there would be illegal to add in milk from a non-kosher animal, so we know that Moshe was mekel. Not a heter that has been accepted in this country. In America, there is greater leniency about it. But it's interesting to note that the Chazon Ish, even though he was machmir about milk powder, under certain circumstances, he said where there was also a pikuach hamin shoda, he was noiter in certain circumstances to be mekel. The Stifler wrote in a letter that this heter of the Chazon Ish was only said after the war, a time when was rationing and problems with milk production. But the Stifler seems to say as well in this letter that possibly again for a choler where it's been milk powder is mixed into products to fortify them, again possibly there would be a mokum to be makel as well. So even though the Iker heter came from the Hatzvi, and the Chazon Ish certainly was not pleased with the heter, didn't like the heter at all, under certain limited circumstances, which are certainly very relevant to our Shaila, it may be that he was made. So there is one other aspect I want to mention, one other side, and then we'll sum up and look at the Shaila, our original Shaila as a whole. One other aspect which I actually possibly was more than a when I spoke last time before Pesach, but it's the famous question which I can't go into a lot of detail about, but the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridea Simon Kuf Nun Hei speaks about being Misrafa, using Isurim Shaloi Kederech Hana Oson for Refuah. B'shar Isurim which are not Osbanah Misrafa Mokam Sakona Afila Derech Hana. So if it's a Sakona, then you can use Hana Oson Shaloi Mokam Sakona. But if it's Shlomo Mokonson, Kederach Hanoson also, Shlomo Kederach Hanoson, which is a famous well-known heter that he thinks something Shlomo Kederach Hanoson. That means that where you have a tablet, which, or something like that, so this is, as we spoke about Pesach time, is relevant as well, where the main ingredients are bitter ingredients, and you've mixed in a non-kosher ingredient into that mixture, so then it would be a heter of achilas shlo kederach hanoson, which is certainly muta b'mokum chayre. There's a long pischei tshuva which mentions various examples of medications that were taken shlo kederach hanoson. Means eating the food in a non-edible manner and is makel. And many shittas are makel. Must be mentioned very clearly that simply swallowing something, if it would be edible, if you chewed it, it would be edible. You can't take something which would be edible if you chewed it and say, ah, I'll just swallow it and I won't taste it. That doesn't help you at all. But if something, which most of our tablets are nowadays, the vast majority of tablets, if you would chew them, they taste pretty foul. Then, if you swallow them, then according to most opinions, that is constitutes an akil shel hanotzen, and therefore it would be mutter. So now let's sum up and see our original shaila. So the thing that people, as I started off with, that people usually phone up about and get worried about is when they see on the ingredients listing lactose. So if it's just a tablet that is designed to be swallowed, as most of the tablets are, then it has not got a din either of, there's no problems about eating it with the meat. It's not a din of cholav altogether because it's mixing with a paracetamol tablet or penicillin tablet. If anybody's ever tried chewing them, they taste foul. So any lactose that is in there, and the lactose is not bottled, I didn't go into the bittle because usually lactose is there in quite high proportions, so bittle doesn't come into it. So then it would be, there's no question, that's why we list all these tablets as being alright, even if they have lactose in them, they have to worry about it, because they're totally not edible at all. Where a tablet is designed to be chewed, then we come on to the question, there you are getting some taste benefit from the lactose. So then, we've got, but it's not worse than a milk powder, plus we've got possible other, the head of the dark yeshua, that mecholov is of cholov akum on it. The cholov akum is probably nothing to worry about, certainly for a choyna, and somebody who's taking it for any sort of purposes that they need it for a refuah. It comes up with indigestion remedies, sometimes got lactose in them, and they taste quite nice, they're chewable. The other thing comes up with herbal, lots of herbal remedies which don't taste bad. When you chew them, they don't taste bad. They're also sometimes formulated with lactose. So there, probably the advice that we gave, and I remember asking this shaila to the Gate Sedrov at one time, and he agreed that the advice you can give is that you can use it, but to try to avoid having it certainly together with a meaty meal, try to wait after the meaty meal at least the most kulavika chitta of an hour before having a product that actually has got lactose in it, which is an edible product containing lactose. And then the other shaila that we mentioned, which is very nagea as well, these products, Ensure and all the hundreds of different products which are similar, which are based on whey, where you see the whey proteins, they contain whey and they're based on whey. Again, they are used usually b'mokum choyli, and usually for people who are, often they're used for people who are choyli, which are because of takona, the only nutrition you can give them. So there's absolutely no shaila in any case, because the choyli is takona, you can do anything. But even where the choyli is not at this point necessarily actually the takona, but he's certainly ill and he's not eating much, and you need to give him something to boost him and to make sure to build up his resistance, or as it's very often now in people who have Crohn's disease, many of these products are used in their felonies for long periods of time. So the fact that they contain, then there is a mokum to be makel because of, from the cholov akum dikah aspect of it, for all the various reasons we mentioned. You've got the shitta that says anyway not cholov akum with mei cholov, and you can be so much that possibly is mei cholov, plus it's possibly this it's a byproduct of the cheese making process, and al pi roiv it's the aren't bleis. So the normal hamhoga is where people require it for serious medical problems, one is allowed to use these products. Of course, there one would need to be careful about bosa b'cholov. Certainly, use separate kalim for it. Keep it away from meat, and if possible, if somebody is eating ordinary food as well, to make sure that he doesn't eat it together with a meaty meal. Preferably to wait at least an hour after a meaty meal before you eat. I hope that we've covered at least. It's a very very broad subject, and one which one could spend much more than half an hour and go into a lot more detail about it. But I hope at least I've covered the Rosh Hashanah and given some food for thought, and we should be able to find our way in this sugya, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help and save us from any mistakes. Thank you very much.